Okay, call the special meeting of council for March 17, 2023 to order, and we'll have the roll call.
Counselor Marley Haskam.
Counselor Nick Ryland.
Treasurer Roshan Kandia.
Counselor Debbie Seabach.
Counselor Mike Hakkinen.
Deputy Clerk Carly Britton.
Mayor David Moore. Any declarations of pecuniary and or personal interest in the general nature thereof? Hearing none. We have Resolution 23-210, moved by Councilor Kekkonen, second by Councilor Zulak. Be resolved that the Council of the Corporation of the Township of McKellar does hereby approve the agenda as presented for this special open meeting of Council. Discussion? Call the question. All those in favor? None opposed? Carried. Respect and acknowledgement declaration. In the spirit of reconciliation and cooperation, we wish to acknowledge that the land on which we gather is the traditional territory of the Anishinaabe and Mississauga people. Its boundaries fall within the Robinson-Huron Treaty of 1850 and the Williams Treaty of 1923. We are grateful to live here, and we thank all the generations of people who have taken care of this land for thousands of years. To honor the suffering of Indigenous people and the love and wisdom they have carried for thousands of years, we pledge to work in community and harmony with each other and the environment we inhabit, and work towards truth and reconciliation. On to Committee of the Whole, Resolution 23-211, moved by Councilor Kekkonen, second by Councilor Zulak. Be resolved, the Council of the Corporation of the Township of McKellar does hereby move into Committee of the Whole at
1:01 p.m.
to review and discuss the preliminary draft 2023 budget. Discussion? Call the question. All those in favor? None opposed? Carried.
Can sing us a song.
Okay, this is actually Roshan's domain, and certainly he's prepared this very detailed, as mentioned already, this report. So I'll just turn it over to Roshan to walk us through it, maybe just the preliminary comments you made, and then we can take it a line by line as we get into more detail.
Sure. Thank you very much, Mr. Chairman. As I mentioned in my report that the basis of the budget is based on several factors, and one of the main factors is the obviously inflation, and as of October 2022, the inflation is, the CPI is 6.5%, and we did try to adjust our salaries to adjust those numbers based on those inflation. And there's other factor which is also affecting our budget, the supply and demand. After the COVID, there's a lot of things which we, ordered, and they've been delayed because of the supply chain management issues. And it's been affecting our service delivery because just like a truck, fire truck or the truck ordered by the grade for the works department. It's been delayed, and it's been delivered maybe in June, July, depends on the delivery date. But again, those are some of the factors which are affecting our budget. Assessment hasn't been increased much as the for the impact, the renewal for the or the every 4 year assessment they normally do would be done in next year or maybe in 2025. So whatever the assessment you see in the budget, it's based on the all the additional dwelling developed on the land. So it could be the new dwelling, or maybe adding the new garage. That's why there's a change of assessment, 1.2%. Interest rate has been increased. It's good news for us because if we have the investment, amount in the bank, we are earning at least 4.70, but on the other side, the borrowing cost is also increased. But then we already, the debenture we already have is fixed amount, fixed interest rate, so still we are in better position. Operating budget is 5,192,441, and that's been a little lower than 2022 budget as of now. And the main item for the budget has been mentioned in the report. External agencies levies, those are 22% of our budget. Again, council have to look at those levies and figure out that if we, the cost and benefit of those levies, do we really need to give every external agency the amount they are asking, or do we need to reduce those amounts? The council decision. West Perisam Recreation and Culture Center, when we signed the agreement last year, the asking amount is 700, our share is $723 and $174. So far we paid $161,000, and I got the request last month to pay the remaining balance, which is $561 and $539. Capital budget this year, total amount of the capital budget is $3,102,654, and after considering all the transfers and the revenue, we are shortfall by $1.1 million, and that capital budget report doesn't include the four items: the renovation of St. Hemlock Church, and renovation of St. Stephen Church, forensic auditing, and the Deerfield Road. Reserves as of right now, it's the preliminary. It will might change once the audit is done. And again, the putting the package and giving you all the capital items in the report is to let the council know those are the capital items we need to do next 1 or 2 years. It's a council's decision that which capital item they would like to see this year or next year, and yeah, that's I tried to put what as much information I could in the report.
Excellent, thank you. Any quick questions just from the preliminary? We will delve in those more deeply, of course. I'm just wondering with the Recreation and Cultural Center, it may have been the previous council, I'm not sure. Do we have a timeline for that over the years? Is it a 25-year amortization?
10 years. But the venture is 10 years.
Okay.
Yeah.
And do we have a breakdown of how much each year sort of thing? Do we have a chart of that yet?
Yeah, we do have.
Okay.
It's roughly around 96,000 every year we have to pay in interest and principal.
96,000
yeah.
per year?
Yeah.
For 10 years?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, now, of course, that's just the minimum, isn't it? Because we could still look at, I'm not sure if what's calculated in there is the building reserve fund. I think that was something else they put in later. So I'm not sure whether you're aware of, because they talked about another $350,000 coming from the municipalities for a building reserve.
No, I'm not sure. I didn't know about that part.
Okay. Well.
Yeah.
And there was something else as well with the that complex that they were looking at. I can't remember right now. But I'm just saying this would be the minimum by the looks of it.
Yeah, that's as of now it's minimum, so.
Yeah. Well, we'll certainly be discussing that as we go along.
So the second part of that, that had to do with, I believe it was it $1 million or something for renovations of the old Optimus portion of where the pool is going, that's on
yeah.
top of this.
Yeah, that would be part of it. It'll all depend on the RFPs that come in for the construction when they put those out. But that would all be part of it. I know with the architectural drawings, they've included, as you said, part of the old Y. But that would be a separate. They would keep the Y going, functioning as such, and while they build the new, and then join together, as you say, yes. But that's not really the capital reserve. That's for the final building, just to have something if things go wrong in the future. That's the other $350,000 they're talking about, similar to what they have for operating costs, broken into our 8.5% for the operating. And that's what I'm saying. This is probably just the minimum that they'll be asking of us. And having checked with the solicitor as well, and it's the type of thing, too, that with these external boards, right now with that agreement, the board sets the parameters and the municipalities pay. So there's no recourse other than attempting to leave the situation, I guess, But then you have to look at the agreement and what it says in there too, and it's quite a complicated agreement that has been signed. But anyway, I don't want that to put a damper on our discussions right now, but just keep in mind that that's, as Roshan said, that's going to be a permanent then, and that's really going to affect what we do with infrastructure within our own township.
So that would possibly lead to a situation where internally we have a reserve fund set up for any costs that come along, or we are in a reactive situation where we take out another debenture to cover that during the course of the year.
Yeah, good questions. The reserve is something you can, I mean, we'll look here, our reserves are depleted somewhat already. We have to see what we're going to do with those, but as far as another debenture, we have one now on Recreation Cultural Center. Is that the only one that we have, or is it one on the fire?
One is on the fire truck.
Fire truck as well.
One on the 72,000 borrowed in 2021. And we've been paying almost 35,000 on that one for 5 years.
For 5 years?
Yeah.
Okay. And that's reflected in the,
yeah,
the budget, yeah. Well, I'm not sure what council wishes to do. Do you want to go through a line by line with the different departments and see what we do there? Unless there's something from the overall that you want to. Yes, Councilor Rapp.
I recall having a conversation with you and even an email about the same subject. In terms of the salaries that appear throughout the document, can you tell me, and I think I asked this question in a roundabout way last council, can you tell me how salaries are broken down by roads, just as one example? There are other examples too, but how is it that we know what those budgets are and or what those actual costs are when they occur? In other words, I don't know. I would hazard a guess that there's 10 or 15 lines in here just for individual roads for salaries. And I'm not so much interested in the specifics as really just the process of how it works, and then when it comes to actually expensing those items, when they occur, if they occur, and that part too, and maybe the answer to the first thing would allow me to know the answer to the second one. I don't know. Do you understand what I'm asking?
Basically, the numbers normally comes from the Greg, and the Greg is pretty much know through his experience that how much he has to allocate for the salaries. So based on those numbers, and then when I get the timesheet, he will allocate a specific GL for a specific roads, and okay, that's how we know that this has been properly accounted.
Okay, so do you get copies of their timesheets,
yeah,
like for each pay? Well, I guess
each,
you need,
yeah,
to,
yeah,
pay them. Okay, duh, that makes sense.
Yeah.
And then, if I'm making, for the sake of argument, $50,000 a year and I'm working in public works, then you just do a per diem kind of thing to allocate it to a specific line item in the budget, to a specific road, if I wanted to be more precise?
Again, they will put in the description that, let's say, if they're working on Balsam or they're working on the Central Road, they,
sure,
will put in the on the timesheet that 6 hours I work on the
okay,
you know, the Balsam, or six,
okay,
hours, or 4 hours I work on the Central Road. That will be put in the timesheet, and that has been allocated to the specific deal.
How much time does it consume you then for a typical pay in order to be able to do that allocation?
Basically, it's all in a couple of hours to figure out. Yeah.
Yeah?
Yeah.
It's not too bad then?
No, it's,
okay,
not too bad, yeah.
And so you get copies of that. Do you,
yeah,
get them for any other departments as well, like for administrative?
Every department gives me the copies,
okay,
of the timesheet,
okay,
yeah.
Okay. Good. That's a good answer. Thank you.
Yeah, I wouldn't say it's an exact figure.
Yeah.
I mean, it bounces around depending on what they're putting in their hours, what they're working on. But you can thank the Public Sector Accounting Board for this from years ago,
okay,
because it used to just be a lump sum salaries. And then it was broken down by different facilities that you have and different jobs that you do. And so, and I guess in their mind, it's much easier to follow. Not necessarily for the layperson, and as I say, the accuracy is always questionable, because the salary figure will come up there in a certain area, and you wonder, what are they doing all that time spent on that particular road, or on that particular vehicle, and it may not be exact.
Sure.
But they are doing what was requested, well, necessitated, I guess, from the past.
Sure.
So that all started too with the asset management plan, and they're trying to, I guess, so that the township's always aware of what they actually have with the depreciation of different facilities and vehicles, etc. So they know where they're actually sitting financially in their budget.
Yeah, I had to do the same thing when I was working, different projects that I was working on. I had to allocate my time out to that, and I had to add up to the total amount of time I was spending. And so, but I admit from doing this is that at some points you just kind of say, I'll make A equals B by changing this number. So that's my point. But it's a lot better than not doing it, for sure.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
And it's possible that, the numbers at the end would add up and equal the total salaries. But I think the reason why the Public Sector Accounting Board did this, so that you have a true or a better understanding of the costs associated with maintenance, the full costs, not just, you know, the gravel, but the time that went into doing the maintenance on the road.
Thank you for your explanation too. I didn't know that background. That's very helpful. And it's helpful for ratepayers too to know where's the money going, right? So my only other request, not so much a comment, is just, and we talked about this when we were discussing staff salaries or before, is that what I would like to see is below the line have a total that shows me the total of all salaries that are paid. Like, not, it's not in the budget because it's in the budget today, but just at the bottom of it have a line that said total salaries.
Sure.
Right? Because I think that's a critical piece for us to keep track of. And I know from your email that you sent to me, I mean, it's like roughly $1.1 million, which is a huge expense. Yeah. So
I think that's sort of part two of all of this discussion.
I'm sorry.
They are certainly going to work on divvying up with a pie chart, something to that effect, where the money is going.
Sure.
Whether it be to roads or to, as you say, salaries, etc.
Yeah.
But, that's a good thing to have.
And, yes, and if anyone wanted to look that information up, that can be found on the Minister of Municipal Affairs and Housing. Look up financial information return. And I think that for the FIR for last year, McKellar's total salaries was close to $1.4 million. But that's public information. There's a lot of information that if anyone wants to look up the FIR for any municipality in Ontario, including McKellar, it's on the ministry's website.
Okay. As well, on page 4 of 5, I guess, from Rojan, what he gave us the intro here, these capital projects that aren't in the budget, the only way, I mean, as you say too, we're way over with the figures right now, if everything went ahead. These particular projects, some have been tendered already, and I think some accepted. So it's a question now, I suppose, of looking at the other projects that might be 2-3 years down the road, eliminating those, and then putting these in their place, so we get a better total.
Sure, but again, I needed a direction from the council, because I was not sure. Other thing is that, you know, forensic auditing, we haven't discussed the, you know, what the actuals and the, you know, what the, who won the RFP, and, you know, so one of the reasons putting over there that we, I don't know the, as of now, that what's going to be actual numbers. And same thing with the Hemlock and the Stephen Church. I don't have actual numbers yet as of yet. We did accept the RFP in one case, but then others we don't know yet.
Right.
So that's why I say, you know, as long as the council gives me the direction, then maybe I will include on next one.
Okay. Great.
So we can make a note then, Hemlock, that would increase the capital projects by whatever total was, 71,000 approximately.
Yeah.
And St. Stephen's, the way it currently looks, approximately between 20 and 30,000.
Yeah, there is a difference, as he said, because the St. Stephen's, we haven't accepted one yet.
Yeah.
The Hemlock we have, so that would have to go in, unless you want to break the contract with the RFP. But St. Stephen's one, I don't think we've accepted one on that yet. It's just been put out, hasn't it?
Yeah, that's correct.
What I'm actually saying is that the township's contribution, once that goes through.
No, if it goes through. If I think that's what he was saying.
If it goes through.
Yeah.
Because there is, you know, there's some funding possibly coming for that.
Yeah.
So.
But no public announcement yet. Okay.
I'm sorry, just to ask you on that, on the Hemlock Chair, so where is that money coming from?
There's a cultural reserve, and I believe there's enough in there to cover the last tender that just came in, so that should pretty much balance out the going ahead with the Hemlock Church. Shouldn't have any effect on our bottom line because we can bring in the revenue from the reserve account to cover that expense.
Actually, last year, $50,000 was taken out of that for the potential that Hemlock project would have been done last year, so that was transferred into the historical committee reserve, historical committee reserve St. Stephen's from, no, it's the one, yeah, it's that one there, from surplus.
Yeah.
So that.
Just fill everybody in on what page you're on.
Yeah. So this is the page.
It's item 12.1 at the top.
12.1, yes.
For reserves?
Fifth page from the back. And down on the left where it says historical.
Yeah.
There's two historicals. One is Historical Committee Reserve St. Stephen's from surplus. And the 2021 balance was $11,924. And the 2022 transfer from reserve was 50. So that was transferred into reserve at the end of the year. So, $50,000 of that could be pulled out because that was what was pulled out of the cultural,
right.
And then the remaining $21,000 from the cultural.
Just while we're on that page at the top, just for clarification, now you're saying into, and both words at the top say from. So you're transferring from part of the reserve into another part of the reserve, or how? Because it says 2022 transfer from reserve,
yeah.
And right beside it, it says 2022 transfer from reserve.
So that should be a...
That's a mistake.
Okay.
Yeah.
That makes sense.
Yeah, two.
We wish it was both to, not from.
Right.
So, $50,000 from historical and $21,000 from the cultural.
Yeah, the columns on the right you have from and to, but you know, with the columns in the middle are, yeah, no big deal.
Yeah.
Thank you.
So that one could be covered. I guess the question is the operational looks very close to other years. Certainly from last year. Now there are variations in there, but it's a capital that certainly stands out. And I know Councillor Ryland had asked about various projects moving forward before and getting together, but I said I have to look at the budget because already we're projects that are on the books that people would like to see. That's without even going to the public to see what they'd like to see. We're over a million here, so.
Yeah.
We certainly have to do some cutting on the projects and divvy them up over a number of years. And that, again, as we said, that will be partly going back to the department heads and seeing what that they're quite happy with. I mean, there are tenders out there for the roads, for instance, right now, and some of those are, I mean, they're just operation need them each year. But there's some that go beyond, and it's a question then of, I'm not sure if there's any capital. Are there any capital tenders out? Not right now. Okay, that's good. He held up. That's good. So again, do you want to go through the actual capital, or do you want to go through the operational? Which the operational is quite detailed.
Let's start with the capital because that's the item where we are shortfall, and if we get the idea from capital, then that would be better. Then we can look at the operational.
Okay. Everybody can find that page then. And maybe you can just explain on the front page there, it's 12.13, I guess. You have actuals as of December 31st, 2022. And then you have the 2023 following. Is that carried over? Is that some of these projects?
No, sir. So I just want to give the council the actual compared to our 2022 budget. That's why I put the two separate sheets, one for the 2022 year budget and the actuals, and other one is for just for budget for 2023.
So there would be things from 2022 that weren't completed?
Just like transportation capital pickup, we put the money, $90,000, and we didn't get the pickup for the transportation cap, transportation. And
so that just stayed in the 2023 as reserve then?
Yeah. No, we didn't, I didn't put the reserve. It will be part of the the overall balance.
Right.
But we didn't transfer it. Okay.
So where do you think a good place for us to start would be in 2023?
I would suggest 2023.
So I'll just go through line by line, I guess.
Yes, please.
Okay, so which page are you on right now?
Page number three.
Three. Okay.
So on the capital budget 2023, we have a revenue which we received from the grant as well as from the, we have a grant of from OCIF, Ontario Community Investment Fund, $127,075. Federal tax program, we got $73,535. And we have NORDS grant specifically for the Center Road project. And we already got $109,000 for the last 2 years, so this is going to be third payment. And those two payments we already transferred to the reserve, and this is the third payment we are going to receive this year. Insurance claim, last year we put the insurance claim and we got the $50,000 against it, and that's going to be transferred to the in-home bridge. And we got the $100,000.
No, you can go ahead. Just finish the revenue, and then we'll come back.
We got the $100,000 for Minerva Park ICIP project. It's been approved. We didn't get the money, but then it's been approved. So once the project starts, then we have to submit the expenses, and project has to start before September 30th, 2023.
So the NORDS grant, Center Road, you said that this is the third year. Was it 5 years that there was going to be?
They are going to pay us 5 years. But then initially we put the Center Road as the main project. We are going to spend the money. But then once we start the project, the remaining amount we cannot put against the Center Road. Then we have to give another project to expense the that whatever amount we get in year 4th and 5th.
Oh, so we've submitted this this year so that...
So if we start the project Center Road this year, obviously they're going to finish this year. Then next year if we get the money, then we have to tell them where we're going to spend it. And it's up to them to approve it.
So we'll have approximately $330,000 off of the total cost of the 3.1 kilometers of Center Road.
So out of $599,000, the project cost, roughly, $330,000 has been will be funded through the grant. Remaining has to come from our reserve or from the tax money.
And the 3.1 kilometers, approximately how much is that going to cost?
$99,000. It's in the expense side. If you look at the capital expense.
Turn the page over, Mike, and you can see it.
Yeah.
No, turn the page in front of you over, I think.
Page 4.
Okay, sorry. Can't really tell from here. So halfway down?
Yep.
No, not halfway, just down the pipe at the top. So.
I guess there's no reasoning, but the OSIF grant is reduced. The federal gas tax is reduced
from
previous years, so the upper levels of government are reducing what they're giving to us?
Actually, they bumped up the last year.
Okay.
So now it's going back to whatever previously we used to get, around 75,000.
Okay. And a question, I know it'll be coming later too, but that 100,000 for the Minerva Park Bridge, that's sitting there, as you say, with a deadline to it, September 30th. We have to counter that, of course, with the actual cost of the bridge as an expense. So the question is that something we want to include as income, revenue? If we don't build the bridge, we can't include that. That will disappear, I think, at some point. So again, that's a decision council will have to make. The only thing, since we're on that, and I know it comes up later down the page or on the other side, $350,000 was allocated for the bridge, and I think from past experience that's way too low, considering over a decade ago there was a quote for close to $1 million to install that bridge. So I don't know where this is coming up unless there's new material, new way of doing it. I just think that's an extremely low quote of $350,000. So council's going to have to make a call on this one, certainly on this budget, whether we just say thanks but no thanks to that $100,000, considering what it's going to cost us to use that.
Yeah, we'll have to make a decision on that one. Yeah, I think that figure, I think Mike would probably know too, that we did get some somewhat estimates there a couple of times in the last 2 or 3 years. They were trying to talk in around the 350 area, I think, huh?
Yeah, but it was, it seemed like, in similar to In Holmes Bridge, you get this very low estimate.
That's
but
right.
Then when, you know, when the final numbers start coming in, then it does not seem to align with what the initial estimate was. So that's the concern. And because it seems like every time it's the abutments that are for Minerva Park is the major expense. And at least $350,000 just for the abutments. The bridge part was never the expensive part.
No.
That was always below $100,000.
So when I asked Greg about the number, he seems a reasonable number. So I'm not sure.
Yeah, but as mentioned, it's reasonable too when he put in his first estimate for In Holmes.
True.
And it's doubled now, or at least.
Yeah.
So I don't think we can sit back here without something in front of us saying that this is what it's going to cost. And we're sticking to that figure, because apparently he had a figure for In Holmes, and that wasn't a set figure. It ballooned. So,
and we need to know what the current estimate is for the entire project. For In Holmes, the bridge already is being constructed and paid for?
The 75% of the bridge amount has been paid. 25% hasn't been paid. I got the invoice. I'm holding the invoice. I'm in discussion with the Greg that we can only pay 15%, and 10% I will keep it as on hold because the bridge hasn't been delivered yet, and I will keep 10%, but the bridge company want the other 25% paid. So that's where I have a discussion with the Greg, and going to have a discussion with the company too. So that's the situation right now.
So then we have to as well get an update on the installation costs.
I think the installation costs are almost $150,000. That's what the last year invoice, but I'm not sure as of now unless it's changed.
And that's what I had heard, that it had changed in the first proposal that we received last year on June 24th, 2022. The installation cost was going to be $15,000.
Yeah.
And then the next meeting we had, July 28th, it was now $149,000, and now I've heard that it's gone up more than that. So we need to, and the question I asked back then was, you know, are we going to tender for the installation of this project? How do we hand out a contract to someone who initially gives us an estimate of $15,000 and then raises it up to $150,000 approximately without even a tender going out? You know, this here, there was a rush on because it was supposed to be installed last fall, around October. And so that's why the reasoning was that, oh, we don't have time to put out a tender. Well, hey, the bridge hasn't been installed yet, and it's not going to be installed until this coming July, so why hasn't a tender been put out so that we can get the best price for our... So it goes through a competitive process so that we know the different options of the installation companies that are available and the different price points that for the installation of a bridge of this magnitude.
Yeah, these are questions certainly that Greg would have to respond to. We have the figures in front of us as we look at it, and I agree with what you're saying here. I'm not sure what Greg has contracted, whether it's verbal or written, with the company for installation. I think we'd have to look at that too and see what we're obligated to right now, if we are, if we're not, as you said, to do it properly, put out a tender for the installation and go through the proper steps. I'm not sure that another council, so we have to straighten this out. Certainly at this point, we're just looking at numbers, but when we get to the next stage, with and it should be sooner rather than later, because he's talking July, I guess, at one point for installation now because of the lower water level and various reasons, but not all people are happy with that late date, so...
I think he's talking about the last week of April or May.
Okay, that's
what he told me this morning. So
okay,
he told me July.
I know that's what it was. So it's all up in the air, and we're not aware of.
But I agree that, you know, if we've got the people that were going to do it that Greg contacted already, they've increased the price three times. Like, so is there no contract? So, like, are they going to increase it again? Like, we need to have a firm price.
That $149,000, that being agreement, that agreement was signed at that
signed.
Time. So if that has been increased, so I haven't seen any revised number or any agreement. So again, if that has been communicated to the Greg, I'm not aware of it.
Okay, well, I'll have to check with him too. And I'm not sure whether there were dates in there. I haven't seen anything that was signed, so...
And again, you know, that's the latest this morning I asked him about the status, and he said, you know, he's going to start in first week of May or last week of April. That's what his plan is. And he's going to put up the sign in maybe first week of April that don't use the bridge from May of May 1st or something.
Oh, that's good.
Yeah,
that's good. And it'll have to be advertised so people know as well before they get there.
Yeah.
Anything else on the revenue side?
Well, we kind of started off on the Minerva Park aspect of it, and just looking at the overall budget and what we have to cut and make and priorities and everything, though I hate to push away from grant possibilities, but the chances of being able to proceed with the Minerva Park Bridge are pretty slim in my mind. That, again, and because the perfect example might be bring up about the in-homes bridge, where you might throw a figure in there at 350 and all, and we start committing to it, and it could be worse. So I just don't think it's a good year for it. Would there be grants in the future? Possibly. But I guess we're probably not at the point where we're going to actually start cutting in this meeting. I don't know, but I feel fairly negative on the proceeding with the Minerva Park Bridge this year.
So Urshan just needs some direction here. Maybe we can start cutting, because it's obviously we have to. So if he had direction to take that out of the revenue sort of thing, and also to take it out of the expenditures later.
Yeah, it's $350,000 put into the capital expenses. So I say we got to start somewhere. I would say let's drop that project.
And it's a good point. I don't know who the granting authority was, but to certainly say that we're interested in the future, don't give up on us just because we're returning a grant, because that is a fear, of course. As far as, again, when you apply for a grant, you probably should be prepared to actually use that. I think in most cases the township was, but in this case I'm not sure they were. So that makes it difficult when you apply for something that you either know you're never going to use or you might not use. And it's difficult to get a second grant sometimes from the same source.
Well, we do.
So if you write the letter that explains.
No, but a good reason why it isn't going ahead, because unfortunately in the last few years everything has doubled or tripled in price. So when we tell them that's the reason we're not going ahead, maybe they'll double or triple their grant. Okay. Carly can work on it. I got a nice letter there.
That sounds good.
But I think in the meantime, if other members of council think that maybe it's just... It's no doubt it would be nice to preserve history and everything, but I think looking at our list here, we got things, especially road projects, that, sorry to say, but our, like, Center Road and Herdville Roads are... They'll have to all be totally redone within our term. Within the next 4 years, they're just going to be so bad. So we got to, unfortunately, focus on some of the more important things.
Yeah, preserving history, you mentioned that, and really it was going to be a steel bridge anyway, as opposed to the old wooden one. And it would be a bridge, yes, but I'm not sure how historical value, but...
Yeah.
Okay.
Good. Yeah.
We want to go through the next line then. We've got more figures down below. Transferring from reserve, you'll have to explain this to us. And it gets complicated when you start moving reserve money back and forth. So.
Yeah, actually, for the from the since this is revenue, so we are going to actually transfer from reserve that make it revenue.
Right.
And. 286,000 I'm going to transfer from purchase public department to purchase a truck, and then we are going to transfer 223,224 from construction reserve for capital from the public works, and it's going to be Center Road.
Okay, could we might be useful here now as you go through these figures, we have the reserve sheet out as well. So we can cross-reference. Yeah. And probably just for identification purposes, on the left-hand side telling us where you're referencing.
I can make a copy of this,
Devin. We're missing the last five figures, and then maybe the people in the audience want to talk to.
That'd be good. It was online, but you're right. Who printed it off?
Well, I'm missing a bunch.
Oh, you're missing something. That's not good.
There's a... That may be in the operational portion of the budget there, I think. Not the capital.
Well, maybe.
Yeah.
Yeah, because it's all.
Yeah, that's all operational. All should it be? You don't have the capital section cut off?
No.
That's Appendix 4 at the top, yeah. Up here in the top right corner, it says Appendix 4.
4.1, that's it.
Well, don't say Appendix, it says item 12.14, sorry, is what it technically says.
There.
Yeah,
you've got it, I think.
Those ones.
I think that's it,
yeah.
Isn't it?
Yeah. Okay.
It'll it looks like in transfer from reserves, I was confused here for a minute, but the new truck, 286, and the lawnmower, 12,000, must be lumped together when it cross-reference over the 298 out of the reserves. So that might clarify that a little bit.
That helps. Thank you.
Remember, Dave, some of our excessive properties. That in the red is, we talked about it last term a little bit, but that is township property back in Maplewood. It has, that's about 500 feet of shoreline on Manitowoc.
Oh, on Maplewood?
Yeah.
Well, they, yeah, I remember that.
Yeah, come in over this way, Maplewood, and go in there. Make our tower, we have a
tower,
cell tower up in here.
Yeah.
But it was just I'm going to bring it up at some point.
Yep. Because there was another big piece over here, too, that had some water on it.
Yeah, it continues to wind way down. It's, I think, 17 acres altogether.
Yeah.
So anyways, I might, if we have a chance this meeting, I might touch on that a little bit.
Yep. Yeah, where people are building nowadays. You thought before it was inaccessible almost.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think it's just a bad year. We're going to have to, and it could go, it's to bump up the park land account, which it might handle this one project over here.
Yeah.
And maybe even more than that.
Yeah, you'll have to fill this in when we get there, too, on the ball diamond thing, because I haven't heard much about that, so.
Yeah, and I don't really have much detail either. I would almost suggest that all of council meet with Greg at some point over there.
Yeah. Because I this is future discussion, but all of this gravel, too, I think, or most of it has to go. I'm not even sure why it was done at that expense, $21,000, because cars have parked on grass forever. And it would solidify that a bit, but I didn't think all that had to be done to completely ruin the field. So I'm not sure what the council's views are on future parking lots, what is actually going to service the parking lot down here or over here. So we have to have that discussion.
Yeah, we need an overall plan of the whole property.
Thank you.
Okay, if we can just pick up there where Councillor Haskin left off about the 286 plus the 12. That goes over to the reserve sheet. So the 298?
Yeah, that's 298 you're talking about, and that's the money coming out from the reserve.
Okay, and then the next is capital construction?
Capital construction road for the center road, and that's 223 and 224 pulse cents. And then same page, you can see that the amount is coming out from the reserve. After the 298, after 180, you will see the 223 coming out of the budget, also reserve. Okay. Then we are transferring 180,000 for the in-home bridge, and again, if you look at that reserve sheet, you will find 180,000 coming out of the reserve. And lawnmower $12,000 from the public works reserve. It's also coming out of from the equipment to vehicle reserve. That's 286,000 plus 12,000. 298,000, and then I'm transferring 15,000 for in-home bridge because the expected cost could be around 190, and that 15,000, it's coming. If you look at the bottom of the reserve sheet, it says investment in infrastructure and assets, and 15,000 is coming out of that reserve account. And then there's a transfer from reserve community center kitchen and roof. If you look at the community center reserve, the estimated balance is as of 2022, 225,469, and 180,000 is coming out of that one. And then 100,000 is coming from roads capital building reserve. So the total amount transferring from reserve is 996,224.12.
Yeah. Oh, go ahead, Councilor.
So the community center reserve 2021 balance was 220,000. Then in 2022, 166,000 was transferred from reserve, and that went to the pool project.
160,634 was transferred to the pool, and remaining 5,000 was transferred into the operation side for some other activities.
So this is coming out of cultural. So, community center reserve. What was that? 166,634 that was transferred from that reserve in 2022. What did that go to?
There were two different things. You said.
Yeah, two different things. So 166,634 went to the base pool. Remaining 5,000 went to the another activity in the operating budget.
Right, and so 220,000 minus 166
plus 171,634.
So 171,000 was deposited back into that.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
So the estimated balance as of 2022 is going to be 225,469.11. Out of that, suggesting to move 180,000 for the kitchen and roof, community center kitchen and roof.
Which then will leave us 55,000 still in there.
That's correct.
To start building up again with time.
If we put 10 in.
If yeah, we're putting 10 in. 10 in and then
yeah, well, I think we should. Yeah. We got to continue to.
No, I agree, but we have to look at.
Oh, I know.
It's in cutting, so. I'm just wondering, some of those figures that you say it's from reserves, and yet I don't see any reserve. And I notice you have a negative number then. If there's no particular label for that reserve, how do you do that? Like, I'm just... Unless unless I'm not looking right across here, you have, for instance, 180,000.
So this is all coming out of the one reserve account, roads capital construction reserve, and I've shown individual line. That's why maybe you see one negative, but overall, you know, the balance will be positive.
Okay, so all I see for roads capital building reserve is 100,000 across from it. So 223 above and 180 above from that same one?
No, 100,000 is for the roads capital building reserve.
Right.
So that's 100,000 coming out of that one because we have estimated amount of 100,000 as of 2022 balance. So yeah, we can use 100,000 out of that.
Right, so they all come down from roads capital construction, okay?
Yeah.
And I'm just looking at those then negative then. So those aren't, that's money that we really don't have in reserve.
So
not necessarily.
No, so overall, we have money in the reserve. If you look on the money coming into that reserve, 14,544 plus 50,000 and 109,000, those are coming into the reserve. So the balance will, and the balance overall will be positive balance. But then just because I have to show line by line, that's why maybe you see negative, but overall the account will have a positive balance.
Okay.
Yeah.
I understand. Yeah, I missed that. Thank you.
So the total capital revenue is $1,456,143.12.
And what did you say we... Actually, without going under, I guess it's at the bottom, is it? You mentioned somewhere maybe in your intro that was way over what we could afford.
Well, that's just the revenue, but if you look at the bottom, the expenses, then you will be shortfall.
Well, that's the shocking part.
We'll get there, okay.
We can write the check, it'll just bounce, that's all. So
on the expense side, you know, as I mentioned, the... 286,000 will be used for Freightliner. And then next item is Public Works Garage. The estimated amount to renovate or construct is 350,000 for the garage.
That's for the two bay addition, is that?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So that's from the Tatum report, is it? From January 12th, 2021.
No, this the Tatum one is basically most of the roads, right? The I don't know if they talk about the building.
Yeah.
It's the number I got it from the Greek.
Yeah. But Councilor Kacken is right. There were two studies done.
Yeah.
One on the roads need study, but also on the facility there.
Right.
Should be moved or not.
Because that estimate, renovate and expand existing public works garage, is $835,000.
No, I think that's different from the addition of two bays, though. I think that's when they were talking about turning that into a commercial venture. Especially when they use the word renovate. So they should be, if they talk about adding two bays, and I'm not sure that they did, but if they did, then that would be a separate figure. So Greg's saying that's, now of course, I don't know whether he's checked recently with prices either, but that's what he says it would cost to put in the two bays.
No, the turning it into commercial, convert existing commercial public works garage to commercial space was $1.22 million. But the expansion of the public works at that location, renovate and expand existing public works garage, was $835,000.
But I'm just not sure that this was in the two bays or what that was. Was that another salt shed as well?
It wouldn't be two bays. I don't think two bays was ever talked about at any time.
No.
So it's... roof expansion.
But again,
two new garage bays.
Okay.
Oh, really?
If we expand the building without removing the existing sand dome, the two new garage bays would need to be accessed from the west end of the building.
All right.
The roof on the expansion should match the existing roof ease of construction and maintenance. We understand the existing washroom, storage, and other interior features of the building are suitable for use now and after expansion. Second story. A challenge with the existing works yard is the lack of sufficient sand salt storage. A second sand storage building should be constructed on site to provide the additional storage required.
And that's what I wondered if that was part of that quote. Maybe it wasn't.
It could be. We estimate the cost to expand the existing facility will be in the range of $835,000, which includes a 25% engineering contingency allowance. Appendix B. So it's all listed in Appendix B of what that entails. So again, I just want to make sure that we have real numbers.
That's right.
You know, we've seen in the past where we've had some estimates and they don't line up with what the facts are.
True.
Well, there's obviously a lot of fact-finding has to go on before this project goes ahead, so as far as going ahead with it this year, obviously a lot of preliminary work has to be done. Will it actually happen this year? I would almost suggest that it's got to be done, but maybe for budget purposes, as we did last year, we put $100,000 toward it and get our accurate prices and everything, and it's a project that we just may have to look at borrowing, you know, making payments over a few years or something, possibly. I don't know, especially if we're up into the $800,000 range. I don't know where we're going to come up with that, but I'm just saying, to keep the budget rolling along, we're never going to get an accurate figure in time for our budget.
I'm saying it's probably down the road. It's just a matter of putting some aside, that makes sense. So that if we can find some to put aside, and then work on some preliminary, as you said.
Yeah. Well, it would knock that 350 down to 100 for now.
Yeah.
But actually, I guess then we would be not drawing 100 in on the revenue side out of that reserve. We'd just leave that there. So we wouldn't be saving the 350,000. We'd be saving the, I guess, the 250 kind of idea on this budget.
Yeah, as long as Roshan can work with those figures, if he understands what you're saying there, that makes sense.
Yeah, I understand that. Yeah. As long as council agree that we should be moved to the next year budget, then I'm okay with that.
So the schedule for that indicates that building expansion, when this was presented in January 12, 2021, was $412,500. Demolition of existing outbuildings, $20,000. Parking lot improvements, resurfacing, $50,000. And a new sand dome on top of that was $180,000. And then the engineering contingency was $170,000.
So what was the demolition?
There's some sheds out on the west side of the existing building. So that's nonetheless, you're talking $500,000 approximately for without the new salt shed.
Yep. We can get as accurate as we can, as you said, before it even goes to an RFP. So
just so that we're not doing budget amendments and looking at debentures halfway through the year. So now is the time to have these thorough discussions and get accurate numbers.
Yeah, and speaking of debentures, I'm not sure. Certainly not familiar with going that route, and I don't relish doing it. I look at Carling, and I think they have four or five on the go right now. And it's something we never did before, and it does come back to haunt you in the sense that it becomes a line item. And I realize the pros and cons, because it is stretched over a period of time for other people to use as well, and the people today aren't paying for everything. But I just worry about going the debenture route with too many projects, and we've already got two that we've inherited.
And I agree, because what you're paying, you're servicing your interest debt, that is money that you're not being able to put into your current projects. It's money that you're paying to a creditor and not being used for projects and that you may want to spend that money on.
Yeah, there's two sides to that argument. So if we decide, okay, well, we'll just keep throwing $100,000 into that reserve until we get enough money to do it, but the price of the project continually goes up every year. I think it's been extreme the last, it's been really tough the last 3 or 4 years because prices have just went retarded. So it's probably borrowing back with when interest rates were lower there a few years ago probably would have been maybe a good idea, but you don't know what's going to happen. So no sense always looking back, but so there's two sides to the argument, but I'm willing to throw another $100,000 into toward working toward that, and maybe we'll get lucky, and maybe prices will flatten out, and it'll be achievable within the next few years.
And if there's any funding opportunities that are available to
right.
I think there needs to be a real focus this year on, you know, looking at funding opportunities for some of the. Projects that are in, there has been, and that's good.
Yeah.
For the Center Road project, that there's a good portion of that being paid through funding. And actually, part of that is the gas tax being allocated to anything this coming year?
It's allocated to the roads.
For the Center Road project?
And not the Center Road, maybe other road. I can allocate to the Center Road too, because it's a big amount, so yeah, 73,000 I can allocate.
And for the was there another approximately 70,000 left over from last year in the reserve AMO gas tax funds from last year?
No, if you look at the reserve, we use all this year. So in 2021 we left 14,400, and then in 2022 we got 72,199, and all money applied against the 2022 actuals.
Okay.
Yeah.
So just so we're all on the same page there, what Councillor Haskell was saying is, have we changed that 350 to 100? I know Roshan's got it, but I just want to make sure the council's on the page too, so when Roshan comes back with new figures, if we're not all shocked,
Where
did this happen?
So basically, I'm going to move the 350 from the expense side and 100,000 from the revenue side, and I'm going to increase the reserve by 100,000. Is that right?
Right.
Explain that again, because the 350,000.
I'm going to move 350,000 from capital expenses and 100,000 from the revenue. And I'm going to increase the transfer to the reserve by 100,000. So at the 2023 balance will be 200,000 instead of zero.
Yeah. Okay. So you were going to transfer 100,000 out of reserve for that project for this year.
Yeah.
And I think that 350,000, if that can be just that can be updated to maybe a more accurate number, in case that it is something that when we sort all of this out, that if it becomes a project that's looked at this year, then
I can ask Greg, in the next meeting, he can come up the number, and how he come up that this number, then obviously council will get the idea that the number mentioned in the report and in the number he gave to me, why it's a difference and which one is the accurate number.
Okay.
that'd be good. Yeah, it's just numbers on a page. We're not actually doing anything with it, but you're right to trace that back to see what the price might be. Yeah. Okay.
So the next item on the capital budget sheet is that the public works equipment lawnmower. We are going to purchase $12,000 lawnmower.
Okay.
Okay. Next one is survey for firewood 152. The cost given to me by the Greg is $75,000.
I'm not sure the particulars on that. Well, when the property was purchased, was there no survey done at that point?
I have no idea. I have to look at that one too. Why there was no survey done?
Because I haven't seen anything on that. Certainly have to look into it because I believe the roads themselves, they were private roads before. It was a fire route. And also the property, I don't even know if the barn that's demolished is now owned by the township. My understanding was there were 5 acres left to the owner. Is that right?
Yeah, approximately, yeah.
Was that just on the north side of the...
The house. Where the house is.
So the barn is now township?
Yes.
And then I think we, again, that's off budget, but we can't leave that in that state. It's a liability.
Yeah.
But
well, yeah, and you have a lot of good questions, and I don't even have answers for it. I'd like to actually for us to maybe have a meeting and sit down with a plan of that property and determine what we're going to do with it, because if we're going to keep our works department where it is now, well, then that's almost like excess property. And maybe, I think, realistically, with the shortage of housing and everything, would it be too outrageous to think that maybe we could look at the possibility of severing some property there for a resale to build up our parkland account and et cetera, et cetera. So I like to see direction given to staff at some point to... let's look at that piece of property. If it means a planner coming in, say, okay, this is what all you're allowed to do in McKellar if you want with that piece of property, and we can look at what it may create as far as revenue. And then include that so we get it all surveyed off how we like, including the road, and make sure it's turned over to the township and everything is kosher there. But if we're going to survey the road, we may as well survey the rest of it while we're at it, because it would probably... you know, not cost too much more while they're in there. So I think it's a whole other subject to look at to its excess property. And I think with the projects we want to get done that are more of a benefit to the taxpayers in the township, that we should look at it to generate some revenue.
I'm just wondering if this should not be borne by the residents in that area as either a local improvement 586 or fees and charges, if the end goal is, you know, the assumption of those roads by the municipality.
Well, it seems like it's a combination. I agree. I mean, if it reflects the need to upgrade the road to get it assumed, then those are legitimate charges to pass along to the ratepayers on the road, right? But if we're also talking about severing a piece of property and selling it, I mean, we'd have to figure out how to divide it. That's my only statement. I mean, I don't know quite how to do that, but other than once you have a survey, you could do it anyhow. So
yeah it may
just
even,
on a proportional basis,
yeah,
right?
You're right, Nick. And that would possibly reduce that 75 down for those property owners.
Sure.
If we had a plan, okay, you're going to be surveying, you know, this into lots and perimeters and everything. And while you're at it, do that road also. So it might be a saving to them too, if we come up with an overall plan for the property.
Because it's hard to say how, if the residents, you know, became aware that the township would be interested in selling that property, and those living there who like that peaceful neighborhood may not like to see it subdivided into several lots, but may want to purchase it as other road associations have, so that they limit any development in that area. So instead of going that step of subdividing it into several lots to look at that, you know, put that proposal out, that an estimate of the value of what it would be worth if it was subdivided into those lots, and to see if there's an opportunity to recoup that amount selling it as one parcel.
Right, back to all those landowners. Well, similar to the Longhorn situation, like in Lizzie's Lane and Rainsway, where they all went together, 30-some properties, and bought the back 100 acres or whatever. So they all own it. Well, yeah, that's something that would be put out there, because there's no doubt the residents in there may, they're going to be quite interested in what is being done. I think they should be happy that the township would be an opportunity to, you know, get that road surveyed as a step head, all heading in the right direction. And the township, I think, if it's being determined that surplus now, that we'd like to get our money, at least get our money back out of it. So I think so.
How much did we pay? Do you know, ballpark?
$180,000.
Yeah.
So when the township purchased the property, it had been surveyed.
Well,
there had, yeah.
I don't know. That's why I said we have a survey.
I mean, you can't sell it without having it surveyed.
Yeah, I didn't see a survey, but I would think since the house was, I believe, surveyed from the balance of the property.
I've seen survey stakes there, so it had to be surveyed.
Yeah, some of it would be surveyed now. The whole perimeter probably wasn't. But, yeah, maybe Roseanne can, or Carly can find out more details on that property. And like I'm suggesting, maybe at a meeting we sit down with that property, what's all involved in that property, showing the roads through it, and see what we could do.
Yeah. Yeah, so right now we're just dealing with the survey. I mean, that's down the road, as you say, and we're going to have to look at that. And it's just a question now, and I'm not sure, again, to talk to Greg to see what his plans are on this, when he puts in this, in his budget for a survey of 152, how far does he expect it to go? I mean, is he thinking of property division as well, or is he just thinking of the roads? So we'll have to talk to him.
And I think he was probably thinking even further in, maybe even beyond that property, just to make sure whatever road improvements it is on the roads. So, Greg will definitely have to be involved in whatever meetings we have on this project.
Sounds good. So we'll keep that figure in there for now, I guess, until we talk to him.
Yeah.
So next expense is micro seal, and micro seal will be done on three roads: Balsam Road, Broad Bend Road, Lakeside Drive. And the total cost of all three roads micro seal is $378,840.
Again, that's something we'd have to talk to Greg about, and maybe we have some experts here. I don't know. When I look at Balsam being micro sealed, I'm not sure when that's done, how soon after the tar and chip, because that was just done recently, I think, Balsam. So do you do that immediately so that it preserves it, or do you wait for a couple of years, or?
I thought it was a couple of years.
So I think
when they did Center Road.
Yeah, I don't think they want to wait too long. I think it's about 2 years.
I think Broadbent was 2 years ago for sure. But
yeah, the first section of Balsam and Broadbent were done the same year.
I thought so too.
The 2 years. It'd be 2 years this coming summer. Yeah. It was.
Actually, I remember it being fall, but I don't know. That could be right or wrong. I don't know, but close enough.
Okay, so this is money well spent. It's fairly expensive, that's why I'm asking.
I think I think we've seen some type of table that showed how it extends the life of the road, and that it's a good return on investment by that.
That's what Tatum wrote in the Votes Need Study for sure. They come out, they have a couple paragraphs that talk about the subject actually, so. And that's the gist of it anyhow, for sure, Mike. So.
And this is micro seal, it's not the slurry seal, so it's a better quality product as well. So
it makes it waterproof, stop the water from getting in and start cracking it up and everything. I think in the conversation with Greg, it sounded like, well, instead of the tar and chip lasting a 7 year, this will prolong it to more like a 10 year life.
Is it tar and chip you're talking about?
Yeah, it might have been tar and chip.
We got one of them for 2 years, and then it started breaking apart.
A lot of depends what's under that
road.
It's going to vary from road to road. So,
and then that's probably the reason why to get the micro seal on there in that 2-year time frame, so that it doesn't start falling apart, because the MicroSeal puts a good the fines that are mixed in with it gives it a good surface and holds it together. So yeah, it's, if you're losing a road after 2 years of the hard surfacing, double surface treatment, well, it's not a good investment.
Well, no, and I was told it was sometimes too on the mix that you get that year putting it together, because from Center Road from the Y out to the village, that only lasted a couple of years for us in the tar and chip, and then it was all being eaten up.
It was, I think the tar and chip changed. I think the formula changed,
right,
because it was never like that. It just looked like gravel when they put it on now. Before, it used to, you'd see the tar and everything in it, you know.
Yeah.
And it's, you can't even tell that they've done it.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. That's a lot to do with the amount of traffic too, and what times of year too, kind of thing, how much damage is done. How many, is it 2 or 3 years for a lakeside drive? Do you know, Sue?
It's 3 years, I think.
Yeah, I think it was done a year before Balsam and Broadbent, so it's certainly due. So, hopefully we can keep those projects in there, hopefully, but it's,
we'll have to see.
It's going
to
be tight.
Okay, Center Road, you bet.
So the Center Road, the $599,400, and it includes the hardtop, gravel, and material and everything.
Do you know where that's from? From where to where?
No.
Greg mentioned to me it's from Crawford's, and I don't know if that's a young Jim or older. I'm hoping young Jim. That's where the bridge kind of stopped there, his new driveway, to Lee's Road. And that would sound about 3.1 kilometers.
Yeah, I know there always was a problem going up that hill at Jim Crawford Sr. He had to dig that out a few times too. And so hopefully this pavement that he's talking about, the base is going to be good enough that it's going to hold up, because the bothersome part is just west of the Veterans Memorial Bridge. That was all dug right out as part of the approach, right down to rock underneath, and you know how it heaves even now, so, and that was all pavement. So I'm hoping that there's a good enough base, if you start to put pavement down, that McDougall's been fairly fortunate, I think. They did the whole township, I think, through DeVenture. And that's the only thing I worry about with pavement, because it costs so much more. But then it's again the pro and con, because tar and chip is not going to last. The pavement should last longer. Depends on what's driving on it, as you say. But that area can certainly use it. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's heavy usage leading to the dump. So I shouldn't say transfer station. But.
I think we need to take a look, because it was just, I didn't look at it real close, but I felt that coming from Veterans Memorial Bridge to the village was the worst section of road in driving.
Well, they just mentioned that. That was all done. That is a bad section that keeps heaving, and I'm not sure, even if you put more money into that, that's going to get any better.
Because the engineer that engineered that, he did it, he didn't do it properly. He did it for like down south. He didn't deal with what we call loon shit up here, right? But no, it's true, because so the contractors that were did the work, they were doing what the engineer had specified in there, and they were putting clay in there and everything else, and actually it needed to be totally dug out and filled with proper stuff, but they didn't do that, and that's why it heaves and everything else. You could tell when they were doing it, they were putting big chunks of rock in there and everything, and clay in it, and so naturally it's going to heave.
So frost depths, basically.
And they didn't
weren't.
Have frost tapers or anything
in
there. So, and I think that's what they have. And I remember a few years ago, we got an estimate on doing Center Road. And it was said then, too, that you need to, it was a very, very big project, because you need to dig everything in there out and replace it with stuff. It's like painting a rotten wooden board. It's only going to last for so long, and then it's rotten. So I don't know. That's why I'd like to know what he's only got in here, like for gravel, and the most expensive is the hardtop. But what's going in as Are they digging out? Are they putting fill in or what? Are they just going
to... Yeah, well, we'll probably have to get more information from him. But it sounds as if it's a project that you don't want to scrap.
No, it's really unfortunate. It's going to hurt us bad, but this is only a start of it. Like, we would almost have to keep doing a section like this every year for the next 5 years, because this would be about approximately, probably not even quite one-third of Center Road, and then the length of Herdville Road, which is getting so chewed up too, that's about two more years of redoing it. So you would have basically this expenditure for the next 5 years in a row. So... it's pretty tough.
And this hard top is pavement, is that correct?
Yeah, it's supposed to be asphalt, yeah.
So what am I hearing, Fred, that we should be focusing on our own infrastructure moving forward? Like you mentioned our roads, and where does that money come from other than the ratepayers? So external, I mean, we have a number of agencies looking for money as well, but we should be focusing more on our own infrastructure. You know where I'm leading with this.
Yes. I would say yes. Can you imagine if we had that $700,000 to put on our road there, we'd have Center Road done.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Again, the good news is 50% of the cost will be covered by the grant, so $330,000 will be coming from the NOT grant and remaining...
For this year.
For this year, though. Yeah.
So 300 and something thousand off that 600,000.
Yeah.
That sounds a bit better. Not much, but a bit.
Well, no, if we're talking like a 4 or 5 year plan and doing all of the...
Can we get one of those grants every year?
We are supposed to get the grant every year until up to year 5, so which is going to be 25. Mm. Yeah, every year 109,000, but then we have to tell them where we're going to use the money, because once the Central Road project is done, then we have to tell which project we are going to apply. And if as Morley said, you know, if it's only section of it, then maybe we'll keep telling them this, you know, it's the same project.
Yeah.
Well, it would sound like, yeah, if we did this, it'd be for Center Road, it'd be two more years after this year, which would take us to the 2025 anyway, so that would work out. So we would continue to get that 109,000, which helps. And I take it we haven't got an accurate figure. Is this out for tender? This?
No.
Oh, it's not? Okay.
What's out? Center Road?
It's out, yeah. But...
Yes, Center Road is the mega seal.
Nothing's
been
done.
Right.
I think it's, mid-April or something?
April 13th is the closing date.
Yeah, so we'll have an accurate figure then. And so, unfortunately, I think we have to... do it.
It sounds like a lot of plans we have to organize here with property and roads.
What we have to and what we'll see in the next couple meetings. Well, that we had to do because it's not going to be anymore.
Okay, Tate Island.
So Tate Island, the project, it costs $120,870.
And we don't have details.
What is it, Roshan? Do you know?
I think it's mostly the putting up the gravel and the... I don't know how much detail, but that's what I know.
So we hard surfaced half of Tate's Island. We did the pavement on the hill the 1 year. And then we did from the hill to, was it North Point Road?
Maybe South Point. I don't know which direction you went.
On the south end of Tate's Island and then past South Point.
South Point, yeah.
And then up to North Point. Or that hill was paved as well, I think, North Point.
Just past the North Point, yeah. On Manitou Drive.
So I think it's a remaining part of the, maybe a remaining section of the Tate Island, because in 2022, we already spent $253,000 and $143 on the Tate Island, so it might be the remaining section of the project.
Yeah, it makes sense.
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay, so next one is the In-Home Bridge, And that's the remaining cost of the in-home bridge, which is installation, and plus the remaining invoice from the Power Bridge. And that the cost is $195,000 estimated cost. Community center, the stove, floor, counter, cupboards, that renovation will cost $105,000, and the shingles or roof will cost $75,000. So the total cost will be $180,000.
And that's something I don't think we can leave much longer. Certainly the roof we can, but even the kitchen and other parts, because it's beginning to show its age. Built in the 90s, so.
So, what's in the reserve? We had to put money back in the reserve, right? Do we have enough money in the reserve to cover it?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, it's coming out of the community center reserve, and we have $225,000, and $180,000 is coming out of that reserve.
So we'll still have about
$55,000.
Yeah, okay. $50,000 or more in there still.
And that's with putting $10,000 in this year.
Yeah.
I don't know.
So after putting 10,000, the balance, estimated balance will be 55,000.
That's right. After we put the 10 in. Yeah. I think we should be going and talked about it for a long time and never gets done. So I think we should proceed with that. It's kind of funny. We had a fellow in that's worked most of his life in kitchens. He went into the kitchen. He thought, "Ooh, that's." He looked at the stove and he thought, "That is a nice stove." Like he talked it up and everything, so I don't know where he was coming from, but almost like, well, you don't need to replace that, so I don't know, but we'll obviously have to get input from the pros.
You should have offered yourself.
Yeah. I thought, well, you just want to stay here and do all the cooking for the township or something? But he thought it was quite a good stove. He just said, like, just overall, you know, the paint job and new floors and this kind of thing, so we'll see what we can come up with or a plan for it, but it's been there for, I guess, it's 30 or 40 years old now, I guess, huh?
Yep.
The kitchen, so most people do renovate them after that amount of time.
Okay. Next is Ball Diamond. This year we would like to set up a new Ball Diamond field beside the Ring Center. And the cost of that is $215,000.
Okay, yeah, I can start on that one. Again, a very heavy budget item here. I'd like to see us boost our parkland account, because that's basically what that is, parkland account. And we don't have much in the parkland account, but again, I think we can come up with surplus properties in the township to review them and possibly generate some revenue to get that project done. And if we could, then that basically could be taken off our capital expenditures. Well, or we would be bringing that $215,000 into revenues out of our parkland account, but that's not going to happen overnight. That would probably be a year or 2 years to generate that. So whether we could continue with that project. Again, I shouldn't be touching on this debenture and loan kind of thing, where Greg continues on with it, because I sort of thought he was kind of using it as a filler, but he's going to obviously run into money figures, you know, getting into the fencing probably and backstops, and all the finishing is more than probably doing less of the property. So whether it could be delayed for another year, whether we could get away with what we have for another year.
Well, what I'm thinking there too, it'd be nice to even get a dozer in of some sort and to see, I don't even know what's under there, whether there's rock in certain parts of that field or not, but to have that checked out and then just at least to get it leveled, that it could serve as a parking lot if nothing else,
mm-hmm.
before you go ahead with any projects like a Ball Diamond and things like that.
Yeah.
And of course, some of it will depend, even though we can access through the rink here, it'd be better from the Highway 124. And we haven't heard from Greg yet, too, on the MTO entrance permit there. So, but I'm thinking even to get that level to a certain extent. I don't know what that cost would be, just to see what we have. And that's without, you know, the fencing and the other things that you said.
Yeah.
just so that it could serve, because the market is expanding, as we know, and
the MTO won't let the people park along the highway in front of the market, and people are parking all over the place, and it was a bit of a mess, I know, at the Christmas one in the last November, just by having this one lot, and if we could have another lot, at least, to alleviate some of the congestion. So I'm thinking part of the project beforehand, I think we could cut back on this for this year, just to get a cost on leveling it out of it, see what we've got.
Yeah. for now, could we look at then maybe cutting that figure down to 100,000 for this year, with figuring on the rest of it the year after, but in the meantime, I think we should be looking at generating a lot of that money from our parkland account, which we could pay back, kind of thing, in a way. So whether council thinks that might be more, like Dave's saying, at least get it leveled out so we can use it for our parking, and then the finishing, other 115,000. We have to talk to Greg to make sure how he did break it down, whether that's actually then moving, you know, or all brand new backstop and all that kind of stuff. I think as far as like the programs, we're probably good for another year here, but the kids are, we're getting a lot of kids and they're growing up fast, so probably going to have to do something, but just to help our budget for this year. I think it's a project that can be budgeted over 2 years, because it's one of those projects that once it's there, it's going to be good for, you know, 30 or 50 years. So anyways, that's kind of my thoughts on it, just to ease the pain this year a bit.
Well, we're just barely denting the overrun, you know, but if that would be helpful, what council thinks of changing that figure?
To putting how much in instead of the 215?
Well, more or less suggesting 100.
100.
And we'll have to talk to Greg about it too. Maybe we can lower that more, maybe, if we're lucky. But
well, if he gives you figures, like if he's got the 215,000, he's probably got price on fencing and everything. So
that's,
he could probably tell us what the price would be just to level it all out and everything.
Yeah.
And so it may be the 100,000.
It does include the fencing, leveling, and the entrance from the Highway 124.
Oh, the entrance.
Yeah,
too.
And the lights and everything included.
Oh, wow.
In
the lights too.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
The entrance was approved by MTO.
Oh, was it?
Yeah.
It was.
Oh, that's good news.
Oh, good.
Yeah. Big news.
Actually, you know, you saw the letter from the NHFC.
Yeah.
They would like to see the project information in detail, and that a grant covers up to the 90% of the cost of the project. It's up to the council again, you know, if they would like to do it next year, then maybe I have to tell the NHFC that we are not going to pursue with the grant.
But it doesn't say that we were approved of the grant.
It's not approved, obviously. Once
they,
we are in the process, so then if you don't want to pursue it, then we have to stop it here, right?
Well, we will pursue it if we get a grant. So I would almost say, let's apply for the grant, the whole plan and everything, and we'll make it work somehow or another. But I would say go ahead with the grant.
So we're not changing this figure.
No, I think we'd still, we would have a revenue coming in then if we did get the grant.
Right.
So to offset a lot of that cost. So that figure would be coming down, but we'd have to leave it there as it is. But
if we didn't get the grant, we still wouldn't have to spend that. We could always change this, right?
It's true.
Like if we didn't get the grant, Morley, we wouldn't have to spend the 215,000. We could change our mind and say we'll put it.
Like there's nothing in the revenue that the grant's coming, right? So
No.
So we could, for now, maybe go down to the 100,000, but apply for the grant, go ahead with that, and then if the grant was enough, the total cost, our cost after the revenue comes in, might be the 100 grand if we're lucky. I don't know what kind of percentage they would be talking. But
you said
90%.
90% they cover, and if we successful through the grant, and the project timeline I have given to the NHFC, that the project might start in end of August or September, because they need time to figure out the grant. So that's the timeline. After talking to the Greg, we have given to the grant people. But then again, if we have to pursue it, then obviously I have to we have to provide them the detail how we're going to do it.
Yeah, the particular is whether it be done 1 year or over 2 years or
yeah.